AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we sit right in between the weekend fallout and the next set of Premiership fixtures. Brendan Rodgers sticks by his criticism of the fans' lack of trust in the team and disrespect towards Greg Taylor. Liam Kelly says Rangers are annoyed they dropped points and couldn't reward Hamza Egeman for his hat-trick. The transfer window's a slow start, but Motherwell have signed a midfielder on loan from Coventry. What other business will we see being done in the coming days? We're in the company of Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL. You're spoiled rotten. Big games from Sunday to look back on. Big game tomorrow. Another big game Thursday.
Well, fun enough, I went out a usual January walk last night. I had my headphones in, Gordon. I was listening to the show and it was a very exciting show, very packed show of Celtic fans not happy with the Celtic manager's comments, and Rangers fans obviously not happy with the fact that they dropped points. Big debates about the penalty kick, and you look at Motherwell, another terrific result as well. Ross County, three in the bounce, they are absolutely flying, and his Hearts finally found some form.
Yeah, well, you're putting me to shame because I wasn't out of walk at all. I've not been out of walk yet.
Do you believe him there?
I
just that's 100%.
I do because I've heard them before they came on the show.
Very sincere. So you were walking around the streets of Motherwell last night.
Yeah.
Your headphones in, listening to
this
show.
Roger and Andy and. Marvin. Sorry, Marvin. I can tell you exactly. Roger won Beat the Pundit, right?
Yeah, but
he was minus two. It was terrific.
Is this all part of your new year, new me type thing?
Yeah,
that we spoke about at the weekend. So that you're out walking, you're listening to the show.
If I'm blessed to be here in about 8 months' time, you will not recognise me.
Well, do you know what? I have been quite excited about the live stream tonight because I saw you at the weekend. We were on Saturday and Sunday, and you've had some work done on your face.
Yeah,
and
a spot.
But you got away with it at the weekend. But now the camera's right on you. Can you laugh yet? Can you smile?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I smile. Give us a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody zoom in on him. Can we do that?
Don't zoom in.
Look, his face doesn't move. It doesn't move at the side.
No emotion.
So you're seriously struggling to get the old... What have you had done?
I had some not with my chad to get my cheeks
You didn't have to.
Yeah, I did. And now I'm getting...
It's vanity.
I've still my fillers to put in there. I'm the Simon Cowell without money.
Honestly, I cannot believe it. I came in here tonight.
He's lost.
You were
told me Botox.
I thought I was on my dad.
Unbelievable.
I know everyone does a whole New Year, New Me and stuff.
He took it to different levels.
He was one of a kind to begin with. He's gone. This guy.
Aye.
Did you hear what he said when we were walking through? That he's decided to cut his coffee intake. Just to be clear to the listeners, for your New Year resolution, you've cut your number of coffees per day. You've cut it down to
10.
I mean, seriously.
Sleeps.
I thought
caffeine.
That's a reduction for you.
Oh, massively. I thought that was a bit ambitious, but I've went 10. For 10.
What do you normally go for?
17, 18, maybe
a day.
Yeah, easy. I drink coffee non-stop.
Anyway, for those of you watching in the live stream, you can enjoy Gordon DL's face that no longer moves. And for the rest of you, you'll just have to use the power of your imagination. 0141-951-1025. On a more serious note, what a time in Scottish football. Because the games are coming thick and fast. There are big storylines everywhere. Even when you get a game like Sunday at Celtic Park, when you don't really think there's much of a story, Brendan Rodgers gives us one. Rangers go back to dropping points.
It's mad. I covered the game the weekend. Obviously there was a blackout and I got a free 45 minutes. I hadn't any work to do. Contrary to the rumour, it was not myself that started the Kieran Tierney song. But yeah, I mean, Celtic, I came away for the game thinking, you know, another great result. Bounced back from a huge disappointment at Ibrox. Obviously, Rangers had dropped points earlier in the day. I thought things, spirits would have been high. And then, you know, afterwards, the comments, the manager feels strongly to come out and talk and support his player, which he's within his rights to do, of course. And then there's that kind of bit of negativity start of the week. It's mad, Scottish football.
And the thing is, Gordon, there's then so much intrigue, because if you're on that story, give us your thoughts, please. 01419511025. I said yesterday, it is impossible that that doesn't keep going, because Brendan Rodgers does his press conference today. It was guaranteed to be the number one topic. He's the Celtic manager, so when he speaks, people listen. Then it comes around again. Then you've got the game tomorrow night. The small matter of Celtic can go 16 points clear. On this side of things, will they sing Kieran Tierney's name? Will they sing Greg Taylor's name? Does the full thing get smoothed over? Are they as, what's the word, anxious as Brendan Rodgers thought the fans were in the first half when things hadn't quite ignited yet? And then it's over to Rangers. Now, I know they love playing on a Thursday night, but they better hope that that catches fire this week, because if it was to be yet another away disappointment for Philippe Clement, these phone lines would be lively.
Yeah, it was a funny sort of a weekend. It was a run-of-the-mill win for Celtic. We expected it. I said on the show, Gordon, and I think Celtic fans, I know what Brendan Rodgers says, and I agree with him, right, and to a certain extent, but he's got to realise that supporters are what really keeps the club going. They're the ones that go up and down the country, spend a lot of money. If they've got opinions, they're entitled to them. But so is Brendan Rodgers. And the one I do agree with Brendan Rodgers is Celtic fans are so used to the way Celtic play and how they can steamroller teams. Now, Simon will tell you, and I think Brendan Rodgers made great points about it, you cannot be sitting there as a Celtic fan thinking we should be 3-4-0 up every single home game. Doesn't matter who we play, right? Because Brendan Rodgers is right. Teams come, they're well organised, they sit in, they make it very difficult, and you've got to be patient. Now, if you flip that over, a fan will probably phone in and say, well, hold on a minute, the football in the last couple of games against Rangers, for instance, they were poor. Against St Mirren, Simon probably seen it firsthand, he'll tell me better. We were maybe poor and we were slag and we're making backward passes. I take that on board. You want entertained.
Also depends what your definition of poor is, I suppose.
Exactly. And Brendan Rodgers plays this type of football. Look, and I said on the show, because we've got a great habit even in this show going, well, Celtic haven't scored after 20 minutes, they must be struggling today.
Yeah. Hugh does that a lot.
Hugh's brilliant at it. But what you've got to do sometimes is give a little bit of credit to the away team who's came there, disciplined, made it very hard. But eventually, they run out 3 or 4-0.
See, after 30 seconds, Coon had already made a direct run right in the length of the pitch. They couldn't have started the game any better that first couple of minutes. St Mirren were rocking. And then, as you say, Gordon, you have to give them credit because they got their shape, they get back into the game, they made it difficult for Celtic. I've covered the last three home games. They won 3-0, 4-0, 4-0. It's taken them to half time in games to tire teams out.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers touches on this, and I'm dead glad you're here tonight. He touches on this back pass that obviously brought the sort of anguish of the Celtic fans. Yeah. Was it that bad?
I didn't think it was that bad at the weekend. I really didn't. I thought the last two home games, Motherwell, St Johnson, I thought there was an obvious message after half time to come out and play it a wee bit more direct, a wee bit more penetrating, and they get three goals in either half. Sometimes, listen, the record that Celtic were on that calendar year there, you have to give them credit, because teams don't just come and lie down. You have to beat the team, you have to beat the opposition in front of you.
Let's bring in Mark, who's in Cumbernauld. How are you, Mark?
Good evening, gents. How are you doing?
Not bad, Mark, not bad. This was always going to go on again, Mark, because as we said, Brendan Rodgers then speaks about it today at length. I think, you know, it was about 16-minute press conference, about 14 of it, it felt like, was on this. So how do you feel today?
I've got a couple of points on it. Obviously, he made 2 points after the game, and then he came back out and reiterated 10 points this afternoon. And I agree with him for the majority of the stuff he's got to say. And the reason I agree with him is because I go to Celtic Park, I'm a season ticket holder, I have been for years. There has been a wee bit of drop in the play, but that's to be normal. Celtic are playing a lot of football now, you know, an awful lot of games. They're rotating the squad, but there's going to be a wee slowdown. But at home, they're winning 3-4-0 every other week. You know, they deserved to lose against Rangers. We're poor. Rangers are the better side. That's that. But you know, Celtic did make a few bag passes. Actually made quite a lot, but you can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to switch the play quicker. They might not go as fast as they want, but I think a lot of fans are forgetting they're playing against St Mirren, big strong side who just went and beat Rangers there. You know, so they're a hard team to break down. But my opinion is there's a lot of Celtic fans out there, and it's their right, it's their entitlement that they don't like him. You know, when he came in, he's won trophies again. There's a wee bit of resentment still sitting there, not by everybody, probably the majority, obviously, are delighted to have him back, but there's a few that can't wait for something like this to go on. So, and maybe they enjoy it if he wants to go, or he wants to think about leaving, or, you know, they're trying to paint it like that. He's trying to work his ticket out or whatever, but I just think he's been honest. You know, and that's the other point about the Greg Taylor thing, you know, that's, I actually disagree with him on that. I think Greg Taylor's a grown man in his 20s to run up the tunnel because the Celtic fans are singing a song about Kieran Tierney. That's like somebody singing a song about Stan Petrov or Paul McStay. You know what I mean? Carl McGregor's not going up the pitch because they're singing a song about Paul McStay, if you understand my meaning, you know?
See, to be fair on that, and this is where, you know, things can... I think, and Brendan Rodgers mentioned it briefly on the weekend, Sunday, yeah, and then again today. Greg Taylor went up the tunnel because his nose was broken or was burst open or something, and he went to get treatment from the doctor. I then saw that report as Greg Taylor stormed up the tunnel in a huff, and then you throw into the mix what Brendan Rodgers is saying about the song, and then it ends up reflecting really badly in Greg Taylor, which I think is probably unfair.
Yeah, I totally
agree. Like I say, there was a nose injury and he was up the tunnel.
Greg Taylor is an experienced player, and I think he's been a very good player for Celtic, right? And if he signs his new contract, he'll probably go on to be a massive part. Kieran Tierney, I can take that on board, that fans are excited that Tierney's coming back. He's a Celtic guy. He was brilliant at the club. They get great money for him. They would be delighted. So the excitement of signing Kieran Tierney, I think Brendan went too far with that, in my opinion. I think Greg Taylor would have realised that. And you're talking all of a sudden, the spotlight's on him running up. Listen, we've had broken noses, and it's not a comfortable thing to have. You need to get yourself in and get some treatment. So I don't think that was anything to do with it. I just think Brendan, after the game, I think he was frustrated with the fact that at 0-0, the fans were giving them a little bit of a stick.
On the second point first, because Mark is partially with the manager and partially not, since you had your feet up due to the power cut, did you hear Kieran Tierney's name being sung?
I actually didn't. Because I'm in the studio.
That really spoils my next question, if I'm being honest.
Even see when I'm in the gantry.
I'm in the gantry, you're on the gantry.
I can get a wee bit more sense of, and there has been disgruntlement in previous games, I get that. I just thought at the weekend, especially as the Rangers game was finished, they dropped another 2 points, I thought there would be a, you know, after the disappointment of Ibrox, I thought there would have been an air of excitement, you know, a chance to go and increase the gap. So, you know, I'm surprised if there was that huge, obvious reaction from the fans at 0-0.
So, Mark, you're putting it down to the fact that some Celtic fans, although they said they had last season, have never quite truly, unconditionally forgiven Brendan Rodgers for leaving. You think it's more that rather than a sense of entitlement or being spoiled or, you know, whatever the things you'll have heard in the last few days?
I don't think the Celtic fans have got a sense of entitlement of being spoiled. They have been spoiled, let's be honest, you know, but we've been spoiled because of their own hard work. You know, a lot of people make a big thing about Rangers playing really poor this season and not winning as much the last quarter of the season, but Celtic have worked incredibly hard to get where they are. So I think the fans are, I don't think the fans are spoiled in that way, like, they don't expect everything, but also, you know, the way Brendan Rodgers left was a dagger in the heart to everybody. You know, he came back, he won a double. You know, it was a hard win last year because, you know, like it or no, Clement came in and he had them a bit. He had them going for a wee while. So it took a wee while to get his style. But this season, Celtic have been outstanding. They've had two really bad games I've seen. They've got a do enough with Borussia Dortmund, a really good side. And they were well beaten against Rangers because every single one of them were off it and Rangers were on it. And that's just football, you know. But I really believe, and probably no in the stands, it's not coming through the stands, but it's online and the media and stuff, you know. There's people out there that just didn't like him because he's outspoken. He's no Ange Postecoglou. Doesn't he tell you he loves the club when he's a Tommy Burns fan and the next minute he's at the door? He's put his hands up. He said what he said. He's honest enough to stand by his guns as well. So I've got to admire that. You know, and if he's, I don't think he's particularly having a go at the Celtic. He's not digging them out. He's asking them to trust them. You know, he's asking them to trust the players, trust the fans. Now everybody wants to play and win 5-0 in the first half. I think a couple of weeks ago you had a guy on saying it's boring football because we're winning 5-0 every week.
That's right.
but you know, what else can he do? You know, his team are dominating the game. We're in a really good position as a team financially, well-run club. You know, we're doing really well in the Champions League. The stadium's almost full every week. And it's always something every year, something going, something said, something's brought out. You know, it's almost like we're the team in control. We're the team that it should be great for the great year. You know, this is a span on a rock for absolutely no reason whatsoever, you know.
That is an interesting point because Brendan Rodgers didn't have to say this, Gordon. Mm-hmm. You know, he could easily not have. As Mark says, everything is pretty much fine. Well, more than fine, it's good. The fact that he did must mean he feels really, really strongly and must feel that it sort of has to be said. Now, obviously, you don't have to agree with that. We're going to spend the next goodness knows whatever part of the show agreeing or disagreeing. But he must... You have to assume he's doing it for the right reasons, if that makes sense, where he feels that it will have a negative impact on the team. He must, because I'm assuming every day he's drilling into them, if you can't break down this... And I think the quote he said today was, we're playing another team, not 11 mannequins. So he's every day trying to get it across to his players. You might need to come back, you might need to go this way, you might need to go in. And if the crowd then make the players anxious, maybe the game plan doesn't quite work. So he must really, really, really believe in it, because he didn't need to say it. Simon says everybody could have went up the road and never mentioned it again on Sunday.
I think he's trying to educate the fans and tell them what it's all about. Now, I do agree with that, right? Because I keep saying it, as much as I think Celtic are a very, very much a top team with really, really good players all over the park, I don't think they're at this stage where the steamroller team's 3-4 after 30, 40 minutes and the game's finished at half time.
Can any team ever get to that stage? No. That's kind of what I've been wondering. I'm a bit conflicted because I hear that argument, you know, fans pay their money, they're allowed their opinion, and Brendan Rodgers agrees that they're allowed their opinion. But I do wonder how good could it possibly get? If this isn't it, if this is not satisfactory, this current scenario that Celtic find themselves in, What would be? Can you get to that?
No, I don't think you'll get to that every game. There'll be games where Celtic will start on the front foot and get an early goal.
That's what I mean. Over the
steamroller. Right, my point to this is, it's very complicated for me. I do agree with what Brendan Rodgers says, a manager, right? And I think what Mark was saying there, totally right. He did say to the supporters, I want you to trust me as a manager and I want you to trust the players. And they should, because see, so far this season, they're sitting there, 13 points in front. Mm-hmm. They've got the first silverware in the cabinet. Yep. They're doing brilliant in Europe, and you would imagine to go and and beat Young Boys. But if I was a Celtic fan, Brendan Rodgers come back into Celtic and 3 months and he's back into his reign. The football wasn't that great, right? Fans were a wee bit frustrated with Brendan Rodgers. He wouldn't have come out and said it then. Now, Brendan I believe that Brendan Rodgers saying it is because of he's got a bit of power now. You know what I mean? He's turned a lot of fans round.
But then is that not because he obviously feels that the football is a lot better now, so it's a bit more unfair in his eyes to criticise it?
I don't think anybody doubts it's a lot better.
I feel like you would expect this if Celtic were starting that way that they did, and then they go on and win those games 1-0. Maybe it's just me having followed a wee team who doesn't get to win that often. I just feel that once you start winning games 3 and 4, how much room can there be for criticism because it didn't start a certain way?
I think, listen, we can speculate. Quite rightly, as you say, he felt strong enough to come out and say that. He said today he's at a stage of his career where he'll say, if he feels strongly enough about something, he'll say it. I think maybe there's a frustration of acknowledgement of how difficult it is to win these games. I forget for the life of me, who's the first team that they beat in the Champions League? Forget the opposition.
Bratislava.
Bratislava. So there's one where they go and win the game, right, by a number of goals, and then it's thrown at you that it's only Slovan Bratislava. There's a lot of times it's only St. Mirren, it's only that. You still have to go out and be consistent and win these games week in, week out.
Thank you to Mark. We'll give you the updated version of how Brendan Rodgers feels about it. He's spoken today and you can hear what he had to say next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here, so Simon Donnelly. Lots of discussion coming in. I can see the phone lines hot again about Brendan Rodgers' comments following the game against St Mirren. And because he's updated them, he says he's no regrets around the criticism of the Celtic fans' groans or his support of Greg Taylor.
Listen, I can never. I have spoke to him. Yeah, he's absolutely fine. Yeah, I had a good chat with Greg, just on a number of things. So, but yeah, he's good to go. Greg's clear on where he's at. For me, he's a dedicated Celt. You know, he's been someone that's nearly 6 years. I think tomorrow if he plays, it's 200 games as a Celtic player, which is a lot of games. He's a brilliant servant, and I hope he can continue to be that throughout my time here and beyond. So yeah, I think you see from his performance level, his concentration, his commitment to the team and to the club is always there, and there's always a little backdrop for every player and manager, but he copes with it really, really well, and you see that in how consistent he is in his performances.
So that was specifically on Greg Taylor. What about the other point then? Because the first caller was against Brendan Rodgers on the Greg Taylor point and with him on the fans getting a bit frustrated.
Listen, I can never say to anyone what to say, what to think, what to sing, what to not, but I can, you know, I know what my own personal value is. A lot of it's based around respect. So, but for me, listen, the Celtic support is an amazing support base, what they give the team and how they support the team and how they travel with the team. So I'm not going to start to tell people what he's saying, but like I said, for me, it's just that bigger picture around this period of games in particular. Yeah, well, as I said, I'm not going to beat about the bush when I'm talking about the bush. I'm experienced enough to say what I think and what I feel, but not in a derogatory way to anyone. I'm not, as I said, I'd be the last person, coming back to here. Everything that I put myself through to come back to here, I'm so happy that I came back here and love my life and love my job here. But it's also important to be able to say what I think. Sometimes you're paid not to say what you think, but there are moments when you have to. And I'm at the stage now in my career, in my life, where I don't need to bite my tongue. You know, it's not a big issue at all. Just an observation from a moment in the game, and we move on, and we and the players will get an incredible support as we always do.
Give us your thoughts then. 0141 951 1025. Pat is on the line. How are you, Pat?
Hey, not too bad, thanks. Nice to meet everyone.
Good to speak to you, Pat. What are you thinking?
I'm just a big supporter of Brendan Rodgers. I think he's absolutely right. Just have a go at some of the Celtic fans. I think they've become very entitled over the last number of years, but you know, it's not too far back. You go back to the 90s when Celtic were always struggling, and like I remember the dark old days when we're getting beat right, left and centre.
Cheers, Pat.
So I think it's time that people, you know, give it, you know, just get off the team's back and just get supported behind them. That's what I think.
Look, yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you can see both sides of it. The only thing, I'm listening to Brendan Rodgers talking there about the Greg Taylor and Kieran Tierney, the fans singing and talking about how good Greg Taylor is. And I totally agree with him. And then he says, it's no big issue. But for me, the manager turned it into a big issue, if you know what I mean. Now, there's a fine balance here. Brendan Rodgers is a fantastic football manager, and since he's come back, and even just now, he's built a good team, entertaining football. I mentioned the success so far this season. So he's there to protect his team. He's there to protect everybody around about him, his coaching staff. Your fans are your backbone of your club, right? You cannot stop them have an opinion whether they like it or dislike it, right?
He said that, though, hasn't he? To be fair, he said he doesn't want to stop them having an opinion. He's trying to give his ultimately and say why he feels it will be counterproductive to the team. Because I'm sure all fans, at the very core of it, the one thing they want, should want more than anything,
he's not the only manager in the country that will probably be sitting down in the Premier League and thinking, you know, see that criticism we got or somebody was getting, come on, get behind. Everybody wants the fans to get. It's human nature going, you go along there, you pay your money, they've come off the disappointment of Rangers beating them and beating them very well. They're sitting there, they're expecting to steamroller St Mirren. It's not happening.
Is that the difficulty, though?
It comes hand in hand.
Does it feed in, Simon, and you'll know this, the culture at the club that Pat speaks of when you were part of it as a player and now seen it? Are Celtic just in a difficult spot where they're clearly, well, not a difficult spot, it's not everyone's idea of difficult, but they're clearly the best team in Scotland, and with that it brings its own, you know, for years gone past as well, not able to really make a dent in Europe, so sort of too big for Scotland, too small for Europe. You do expect to win every game comfortably. That clearly can't always happen. How could it? And by the way, they did win the game comfortably. They won the game 3-0. They're winning every game comfortably at the moment. But does it just feed into that bar of expectation has probably always been high, but has gone up and up and up and up and up, and now at a point where how much higher can it go?
It possibly is. But listen, these games, the last three games, 3-0, 4-0, 4-0, it took them almost a half time. I think with the exception of the game at the weekend where they got two goals, it took them almost a half time in those other to break the opposition down, get one goal. They go in and win it 3 in the second half. Now, it's not easy. You can't go out there, and maybe that's where the frustration is, because, as I said before the break there, people go, oh, well, it's Motherwell at home, or no disrespect, or, you know, you're expected to go out there. Every game brings a different challenge. And sometimes I played, as Pat speaks there about the 90s, it was difficult at times because if you weren't getting that lead or a misplaced pass, you can feel it for the. But that's part and parcel of playing with Celtic. You have to go and rise above that and perform. And 99 times out of 100, this Celtic team in recent times have done that. They have performed. But you have to work for it. You have to work for it. You kind of go, and that's what I go back to saying about the Rangers game. Brendan touched on it himself. He says subconsciously the team 14 points ahead. You go there and you just see one or two aren't on it, and then it leads to three or four and you don't get a result. You have to be on it every week. It's easy, and it goes probably without saying that, but it's a fact. It's a fact. You have to be on your game.
If you disagree with the grumbles, Pat, where do they come from for you? What do you put it down to?
I think it's just, because we've had so much success in the last few years, I think fans are becoming entitled. A lot of the younger fans have never known anything else but Celtic, you know, clearing up. So I think it's just a little bit of, you know, just calm down a little bit and just be humble and just appreciate the success we're having at the moment.
The thing as well, Pat, sorry to interrupt you, the thing as well with that as well with Celtic at the moment is, and I go back to the position they are in the league, especially with the points dropped earlier on in the day, I can maybe understand a wee bit of nerves if it's 1 point ahead of Rangers and, you know, performances haven't been good, but they've won the last two at home 4-0.
It's a strange one for me because I don't go to Celtic Park, but I don't imagine it's the first time there have been a bit grumbles. Celtic haven't started on the front foot and scored a goal and went on to steam. But they usually get the job done, as Si turned around there, talked about the amount of goals they've scored and clean sheets they've had. It was just interesting. I was very surprised that Brendan Rodgers came out and sort of put it out there and then added the Kieran Tierney and Taylor. I found that very surprising and odd for me. And what happens, Gordon, is some supporters will probably be sitting there now and guaranteed they'll be saying, he's trying to work his ticket here. So all of a sudden, that conversation that Brendan Rodgers has had in the media, which he thinks right, and I do agree with him, because you cannot go out there and just beat everybody 2-3-0 in the first 20 minutes. But he's put it out there in such a way, he's elaborated on it with Kieran Tierney, and what happens, it stokes a fire that Celtic don't really need just now for me.
Yes, I suppose I see what you mean, because ironically, in an attempt to stop unnecessary negativity, you could say that that's now, you know, no one's on this is going to be the second night in a row.
Well, nobody's phoning in
to celebrate Celtic being 13 points clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you very much to Pat. What about Robert? What's your take, Robert?
Hey guys, hope you're well.
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I just find this all a bit funny. I think Brendan Rodgers is very clever here. He's, I put it down as a masterclass in distraction. Following the Rangers game where we had our worst XG, even if that means anything, we faced the most shots on goal we've faced in one of those games for a long, long time, that no one's talking about that anymore. It's all about this, you know, playing the ball backwards, which is a nonsense, really. I don't think any Celtic fan is really that bothered if we're not up 2-3-0 by half-time. I think it's very, very clever from the manager. He never, ever says anything by accident. So I think it's very clever that no one's pressing him on the fact that the cup final wasn't very good against Rangers and that maybe Rangers have found a way of playing against us. And now, subsequently, lots of other teams are trying to play a very similar way against us. So I think that's where he's been very clever. I've got another point in the game.
I like the theory. I do like the theory. I wonder, though, Robert, do you think that one game lost to Rangers, and as bad as it was in XG and all that, do you think it required this level of distraction? Because when the dust settled, you know, Celtic can still go 16 points clear tomorrow night. They're still in an extraordinary good position. And I know what you're saying, but it's always going to be very difficult to press a manager on a cup final performance that they then go and win. So I don't mind the theory. I'll always welcome them. But do you really think the result against Rangers was so huge that it required all this?
I think Brendan Rodgers has a massive ego, and I think most people agree on that. And he will have saw the reaction to that result, which, you know, it was the worst performance any of us have seen from Celtic in a very long time against Rangers. So I think he'll maybe be feeling a bit hurt from that reaction and maybe looking for a distraction. That's something I think I can see that Brendan Rodgers might do.
I agree. I think Brendan Rodgers is a very clever guy. He's not been round the block the way he has if he's not learned. And he's quite right to turn around and say, do you know what? I don't need to hold my tongue. He's an experienced coach. But that what Robert says there plays right into the manager's hand, right? Robert turned around and says, and they struggled in the cup final. They won the cup final. Brendan Rodgers as a manager would answer Robert quite simply, what is a cup final all about?
Yeah.
Winning silverware. They come home with the cup.
I think maybe it depends, because Robert will be talking about, I'm sure, within the Celtic fans and any question marks or cracks that they felt were, you know, brought up by the Rangers' defeat. But I don't know if, see, because the games came so fast, and as you say, Rangers dropped more points earlier on Sunday, so Celtic did go 13 points clear. So I don't know if post-match on Sunday he needed to take the heat off the Old Firm defeat, because I feel like it would have kind of started to move on anyway by the fact that Rangers dropped points.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what I'm saying. When I went into the stadium at the weekend, I thought there'd be a huge positivity despite, you know, the heavy defeat 3 days before.
Do you think so, though? Because I suppose it was the first time Celtic had played.
The Rangers had already played.
Yeah, so, but I just mean if Celtic, you know, that old kind of looking after your own sort of thing.
But I know how Celtic fans think. I looked at the screen and Rangers were 2-0 up. I think, oh well, they're going to steamroll our Hibs today. They're going to build on that one, the result from Thursday, and then all of a sudden they drop points, 3 each, and every Celtic fan out there would be loving that, you know, going into the game. So that was where I thought there'll be an extra bit of positivity here, and then it's all about Celtic bouncing back. They have to bounce back.
What about the other one then, Robert? These are split into two very separate camps, aren't they? You've got the Tierney and Taylor issue.
I think he's thrust Taylor into the limelight when he didn't have to. I don't think anyone singing Kieran Tierney's name was singing it in a way to be derogatory towards Greg Taylor. Also, if it's disrespectful to sing Kieran Tierney's name, is it disrespectful to be openly trying to sign Kieran Tierney? What's that saying about Greg Taylor? What's the manager saying about Greg Taylor there if he's trying to sign Kieran Tierney?
I think he overdone that one. Personally, I think I don't even know what he get involved in that one for, because people sing about guys like Kieran Tierney was loved by the Celtic fans. Kieran Tierney loved Celtic. They made great money on him. He was brilliant for Celtic. Look, Celtic fans would love to sign him, bring him back as part of that Celtic team. I don't know why Brendan Rodgers really, and he is an experienced guy, but I always think Brendan, and I think I'll agree with Robert in this, Brendan Rodgers is a very intelligent man. he says some things at the right times for a reason. He's not just come out with that all of a sudden. He sat there, and he, before he's went into that press conference, he's calculated what he was going to do, right? And he kept going on and on and on, disrespectful. I agree with the Celtic fans here. I do not think that's been disrespectful to Greg Taylor at all.
Thank you very much to Robert. Let me tell you about this before we go any further. Every day is payday. Well done to Joe. Won £2,025 on Every Day is Payday, and still in the draw for the massive £200,000 on Friday, and you could be too. And of course, then potentially win £2,025 tomorrow. Text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get 2-for-1 on the text entries. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo Network competition are online, and the lines close 3pm on Friday. So it's the chance to have £200,000 into your bank account in time for the weekend. But if you enter before 3pm today, you'll also be in the draw for the extra payday worth £2,025. Answer your phone. If we call, you win the cash. It's that simple. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB if you want to get involved that way. You can do. Give us a shout. Anyone spotted Gordon DL's inability to smile or laugh?
I can't smile
with his new cosmetic.
I've nothing to smile about. I'm sitting here on a cold Tuesday night.
Go and give us a smile.
No. Yeah.
Have you got more work to get done?
Yeah.
Was that just the first stage?
That's just the first stage. I'll guarantee you a few weeks' time.
So is that going to loosen up? Will you be able to smile again at some point?
I don't think so.
Is your days of smiling done?
I've got to keep away from radiators. I might stick to one of them.
It took me a minute to notice at the weekend.
Get that camera off me.
Zoom in.
Try and smile though.
No.
Go and give us it, like, laugh. A funny joke and just...
There you go.
Like, his mouth doesn't move. Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous for a man of his vintage. Anyway, give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking tonight, whether it is. And very similar to last night, the vast majority of these calls all about Brendan Rodgers. We can go back to it if you want. Let's try and shift focus for a bit in case people have had their fill for now. The Rangers goalkeeper Liam Kelly says there's no way they should score 3 goals and not come away with a win. He thinks they were sloppy and is annoyed they couldn't help reward Hamza Egeman for his hat-trick.
Really annoyed, obviously, we don't come away with a victory. After scoring 3 goals in any game, obviously when you play for this club, if you score 3 goals, that should be more than enough to win the game. So really annoyed at the defensive moments we gave away, sloppy for us, and I should never concede 3 goals. We just gave away a terrible goal. We gave away an awful goal, all of us collectively. A really poor goal, and it gives them life in the game, which they never ever had. And it was out of nothing as well, really. It was like a set piece, obviously. We don't defend it as a team, and we gave them hope when we were so, so good in the early stages of the game. So really frustrating. Obviously that's a part of the frustration as well, that we've no resulted that kind of hat-trick for him. Obviously he's the top end of the pitch, so it's not so much on him. Obviously he defended a collective and he attacked as a collective, but I'm so disappointed and so angry that we've not managed to win the game. That's my overriding emotion.
Yeah, I think that if you do go away from home and you score 3 goals, you're expecting to come away with all 3 points, especially when you're 2-0 up and you're absolutely cruising. But all credit to Hibs, they changed tactically. They didn't go toe-to-toe with Rangers after 20-25 minutes. They dropped their 2 wing-backs a little bit deeper. Rangers had no space to get into, didn't know how to break them down after that. Hibs eventually grew into the game. Boyle, I thought, was great for Hibs up front, as much as Egerman takes the headlines for Rangers with his hat-trick. I'm listening to Liam Kelly here. I'm a big fan of Liam Kelly, but I think he takes a massive bit of responsibility for the goal. Yeah, he should really do as a goalkeeper, and it's his opportunity just now with Butland out. He had a good Thursday, come out with a clean sheet. But he should really do better as a goalkeeper at the set play. But mistakes happen, as we've all been there. And then obviously the big talking point was the penalty kick.
Let's bring in Andy, who's on the phone a couple of days on. Andy, does that sting any less or more? How do you look back on it?
Right, well, how you doing, guys? All the best to you, anyway. No, listen, I was over the moon beating Celtic, but drawing points against Hibs, I mean, we've all been saying it, we were cruising, and for some reason we seemed to take a foot off the gas. I don't know why we done that, because you can't blame Clement, because I seen Clement, you seen him, we're 2-0 up, he's urging the players to go on, but the players just seem to, I don't know what they've done, they just seem to take their foot off the gas and went, ah, no, we're going to win this game. And it's not, I mean, game last, I've said it hundreds of times, like 90 minutes, no 35 minutes, a game goes for 90 minutes. So I was really, really disappointed, Rangers.
So all on the players for you?
Sorry?
All on the players for you?
Aye, all the whole team. I mean, I don't know. I mean, 35 minutes of brilliant football, and then all of a sudden, we just seem to go, ah, that's a game finished, we'll win it. And then we go 3-2 up and lose out. I know Liam Kelly, I think he's annoyed with himself as well. Listen, this red thing today, listen on to the Rangers thing today as well, and he's not happy with himself, but it depends. It was shocking.
Yeah, I think a bit of credit that goes, and I'm listening to Andy there, a bit of credit goes to Hibs, I think. I think if David Craye had kept with the same tactics, Rangers would have had that game out of sight by half-time. I think because he dropped his wing-backs back, he made it very difficult for Rangers to break on them. They grew into the game. They got a lot of corner kicks, a lot of set plays. They're a big unit of a team. They put the ball in there. They caused problems. They obviously scored from one. Boyle up front started really producing the goods. I think Rangers...
Should that be a concern for Rangers then, if in your mind, giving Rangers more of the ball gives you a better chance of getting something?
Well, their away form proves that when they go away from home against sort of a, let's call them lesser teams to Rangers, and the teams sit in and make it very difficult and then hit Rangers in the counter-attack, Rangers don't often find a way to break them down and win the game comfortably. Now, we've seen on Sunday, Hibs played three at the back and they shoved their two wing-backs so high up the pitch, the two centre-backs of either side of the three started getting into Midley Park. And Rangers were absolutely cruising, 2-0. And Andy was right. It looked like this was going to be a cricket score. But David Gray recognised it very quickly after the second goal went in, decided, right, we're going to be more compact in the Midley Park as well. The wing-backs come a bit deeper. And all of a sudden, Rangers ran out of ideas. And you could see it through the game. It wasn't like they took the foot off the gas. They ran out of ideas. But it was a sort of a ding-dong game for me. I thought at times you're looking at Hibs. Now, Rangers will talk about Egan Mann had a great effort in the last, what, 5, 10 minutes? To go and win the game, I suppose. He's very unlucky. He was brilliant, you've got to say. But then Hibs can flip that and say, well, if Mother's header goes in, that's an important time. It could have caused problems.
Yeah, I just think the way Rangers start the game, I think that'll be the major disappointment, going up 2-0 so early in the game on the back of a really good result. The confidence would be high. Egan Mann with another couple of great goals, to let that slide, to go and drop 2 points in the end. But as Daz touches on there, from what I've seen of the game, Hibs had a resurgent Hibs had a real bit of energy about them right throughout the game. Yes, they get the goal at the right time to get themselves back into it, but I think Rangers looking at it with that electric start, you're expecting to build on that. The frustration for the fans.
I think the big problem with Hibs, which played into Rangers' hand, you look at Hibs were the in-form team, right?
The manager
of the month. They play Rangers and they think, we've got to go toe-to-toe, we've got to get at Rangers, we're at home, we're going to cause them problems. And Rangers absolutely battered them.
Andy, how do you feel now about a trip to Dens? How do you get confidence for away games if you're a Rangers fan at the moment?
Well, right now, I was actually talking to somebody who's a DD fan. I said, your club will be just depending, it'll be training on high balls into the box. I mean, do you know what I think annoys me as well with Rangers sometimes? I mean, see, the tough time in that game, we kept stepping back. They were attacking us, and we weren't getting out to meet them. we just let them come and cut. I'm going, go on to somebody good and tackle them. Don't let them run into the box. So I'm kind of worried, but I don't know what else to say. I think
you sound scunnered, Andy.
I'm actually scunnered. After beating Celtic, I'm going, right, this could be a wee turn, but we let us in again, and it's not good enough.
Thank you very much to Andy. The big games just keep coming thick and fast. We've got some tomorrow, then, and Thursday. And speaking of big games, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Are you looking forward to a new year? Because it is new year, new you. You've cut the number of coffees you drink a day to 10. Yeah. You're off alcohol. You've started walking in the evenings and listening to Super Scoreboard. You even told Simon and I don't know if you wanted this one broadcast too late. You were thinking about Buddhism for the new year. So let's see how all this affects your Beat the Pundit performances. It's 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025 to join in. So what are you thinking tonight? What is on your mind? Looking at the phones and on Twitter, again, it looks like most Celtic fans all seem to have Brendan Rodgers very much on their mind, because he spoke again today. So he sort of stuck by his comments, if you like, maybe explained them a bit further about why he's happy for people to disagree, but why he felt he had to say what he did about the performance and about the Greg Taylor, Kieran Tierney thing. Incidentally, Kieran Tierney is on the bench for Arsenal again tonight, so it didn't come on at the weekend. I don't know if that will be any different this evening. So if you want to add to that, as many of you already have put your calls in, please do. If you want to move on just before the news, we spoke about Rangers and their away form and how that can get better going to Dundee. Anything else that's out there, give us a call and we'll speak to you after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Straight away, one look at this question sheet, I think these are tough.
Oh,
I think you're
like
in trouble
that.
Tonight. And you won't be able to pull that like anguished face if you lose, because you've had your Botox and your face doesn't move.
I've not had Botox, so I've just had a wee bit of problems with my cheek.
So it's the eyebrows are still moving okay, which I'm pleased for.
Wait till you see them in 6 weeks.
Simon Donnelly and Simon Cowell on the show tonight, if anyone's interested. David's in Hamilton. How's it going, David?
How are you doing? All right.
Mullerwell fan, David?
Yep.
Must be pleased with that result at the weekend.
Oh, aye. After I went to Tynecastle on the Thursday, definitely.
Was Tony Watt viciously assaulted, or was he dramatic? The pundits last night were split on it.
Just as bad as Duncan Ferguson's all the years ago, wasn't it?
Well, Gordon Deal knows all about that one.
Oh.
What did you think? Haven't seen it back. Rubicic, what?
Dramatic. I'm sitting the fan. Yeah, I think
Tony
uses.
I think he's a harsh red. I think he's made the most of it, Tony.
A wee bit
does
experience
not
from
a red?
Tone.
I don't know.
I suppose the thing
I
actually.
It today and
put it this way,
you
should never put yourself in the position.
Yes, correct.
Is there. Just again, the devil's advocate, but is there an angle that shows he doesn't touch him though? That's the bit I would genuinely be interested in.
There's one really bad angle, I think, from the stand side.
Right.
Looks, but again, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm just curious. A good win, nevertheless, wasn't it?
Very good win.
Oh, terrific.
Great goal again by the lad. I can't pronounce what he's.
Oh, come on.
Massin Weesey.
Two great goals he's scored in the last couple of weeks.
JT, Andy calls him. Uh-huh. So, quite simple. Mass when easy to everyone else.
Big Marv couldn't pronounce it last night.
Are you liking him, David?
Aye, definitely. Pace, touch, knows where the back of the net is, so aye, decent player.
Yeah, he's been doing well. Right, let's get to business. Heads, it would be Simon Donnelly. Tails, it would be Gordon DL. The listeners are yet to win in 2025.
Well, they played Roger last night.
Probably only played
one game.
A couple of times. Did we not play in between? Would we have played in between? No.
No, because, I don't know if you play Friday.
Yes.
Right, okay, so you played twice. Hugh or somebody must have won.
Heads, it's Simon. Tails, it's Gordon. It is Simon Donnelly up against David from Hamilton. So we give Simon some greatest hits radio to listen to, just so he doesn't hear your answers, David. That would spoil the fun. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and you are allowed to pass and move on if you so wish, okay?
No problems.
Right, your 30 seconds goes on the clock and your time starts now. Zach Hemmings returned to St Mirren on loan from which club?
Middlesbrough.
Crystal Palace have had a bid rejected, apparently, for which Scotland international?
Ben Doak.
Who's currently top of League One?
Arbroath.
True or false, Celtic are currently above PSG in the Champions League table?
True.
Who's the only British team Philippe Clement played for during his career?
Coventry City.
Name any of the Scots currently on 8 goals for the season in the Scottish Premiership.
Lennon Miller.
Okay, okay, okay. Let's bring back Simon Donnelly.
Easy, mate.
You smell that?
Who's easy?
The questions are easy.
Do you think so?
Oh, like Barry White on there. That
he'll scoosh him. He'll scoosh him.
I don't think they're easy.
Oh, all day long. Right, I'll take his place.
You've just heard them.
Yeah, they're easy, mate, honestly. But okay, if you don't get the first one right, you'll be struggling.
Like same set of questions to Simon Donnelly, same time, and it starts now. Zach Hemming has returned to St Mirren on loan from which club?
Pass.
Crystal Palace have apparently had a bid rejected for which Scotland international? Who is currently top of League One in Scotland? True or false, Celtic are currently above PSG in the Champions League table?
False.
Who's the only British team Philippe Clement played for during his career?
Pass.
Name any of the Scots currently on 8 goals for the Scottish Premiership season.
Coon.
Scotch. Scott, you've just done a Gordon DL. The German Scot.
The German Scot.
Do you think they were easy? I didn't think they were easy. Let's go through them. Zach Hemming has returned to St Mirren on loan from Middlesbrough. David 1-0 up. Crystal Palace apparently had a bid rejected for Ben Doak. You both got it. David stays one in front. You guessed Arbroath and you were correct.
Brilliant.
Wow.
But David knew it straight away. He stays one in front. True or false, Celtic are currently above PSG in the Champions League table. It's true. It is true. They're struggling in the Champions League.
Mate, you do Celtic TV. Come on.
They're equal points.
And
they?
David got it. David absolutely
scudded.
Philippe Clement, the only British team he played for?
I'm going to go English, and I'm going to go either at Sheffield or Watford.
It's Coventry City. And David got it.
David's
got everyone right. David's absolutely
David's
flying.
Going for a 10.
This is the best performance we've seen from a listener in a long, long time.
The only question I got wrong, I think it's 8 goals, it's Callum McGregor.
It's actually not him either. You're right, we were going for the 10. I forgot about that. The Scots who are on 8 goals in the Premiership season was Bruce Anderson or Simon Murray. David got every other question right. 5-2 win David and Hamilton. Well done, David.
Well done, David.
See who's available for next Tuesday, would you?
The last time I was on, I beat Simon as well. I got 10 out of 10.
You've had 10 before?
I've had 10 out of 10.
You were rubbish tonight then.
Have a look at
yourself.
I'm kicking myself. I'm looking myself in the mirror. Just saying,
Poor from you. Another signed ball though. Well done, David.
No bother. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
He gets to keep you.
Three times you'll get a game.
That's impressive.
That's pretty poor.
He was good.
That was.
I didn't think they were that hard.
Well, you never. Who did you answer?
The only one I didn't get was man, Clement.
The average. Because bear in mind, if you're not a fan of those specific teams, I don't think the vast majority of our listeners know that Zach Hemming's on loan from Middlesbrough. The St Mirren fans will know. You only know because I mentioned it at the weekend.
That's right.
I think Arbroath hard.
I had written that down, so I knew that.
I think they were tough tonight. David made easy work.
And I knew Simon Murray had scored 8 goals.
But you didn't know Philippe Clement.
That was the one I didn't know.
Of course,
you've got to listen to
who was at Coventry at the time.
Yeah. Sure he was.
Gordon Strachan. Gary McAllister.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know that.
There you go.
But I'll tell you what, I didn't know that Coon was Scottish. That was a big surprise. That was the one that threw me.
Always listen to the question.
I will give you that. That is a surprise, I have to say. 01419511025. Give us a call. Since David was a Motherwell fan and brought it up, off to Rugby Park next. I know it's really boring to say, but are these teams not just all like extremely difficult to predict?
Yeah. You know,
nothing really surprises you with that whole portion of the table from from, I mean, Dundee United in third, arguably, but certainly below that.
Yeah, you've got Aberdeen, Motherwell, St Mirren, you know, Hibs are creeping up again. It's never easy going to Rugby Park. We all know that. But I think they go with good confidence. It was all about getting the 3 points. Okay, the sending off helped them, but they were leading 1-0 at the time against what you would say a real struggling Aberdeen side just now. But forget about that. They were at home. They had to get 3 points. They got the 3 points. They'll look forward to this trip down to Ayrshire tomorrow. But it'll be difficult because Derek will be desperate for a result for Kilmarnock.
And more mentions for Coventry City than you ever thought you would get on one night. Kai Andrews has signed for Motherwell on loan from Coventry, a midfielder. Wonder if that was accelerated by Lennon Miller's injury.
Yeah, it's a sin for Lennon Miller being out. He's a big player, obviously. He was given the captain's armband. But once again, Motherwell backing their manager. You can't fault them. They think a lot of the manager there. I know that for a fact. And they brought in someone, don't know him, Gordon, so there's no point in me even kidding on. But hopefully he'll be a good addition to the squad.
And Derek McInnes is probably going to need to do the same in the striking department because Kyle Vasselli's captain. He looked in a lot of discomfort when he went off. Got a feel for Innes Cameron. 3 minutes in, you know, it's his big chance to sort of take Kyle Vasselli's spot. Lasts 3 minutes for a hamstring injury. They'll be disappointed with that one at the weekend.
Kilmarnock have had a real hard season, haven't they? If you look into their European campaign at the beginning, then you look at the red cards highlighted week in, week out, Derek pulling his hair out, wondering about the discipline record. They're down there in 10th, and Hearts are right on their tail.
Only 3 points, though. You look at the table, I mean, that's what Gordon's saying. There's not a lot. You're a win away from the top.
But you're only one away from 11th.
I know, but you need to look up.
I thought you'd be more positive with your new outlook in the new year.
I tipped Kilmarnock for big things this season. I thought they would kick on. I looked at their squad, their manager, everything about them.
Red card.
Yeah, but look, you're right. Not that long ago, we were talking about Hibs. David Gray might be under a bit of pressure.
I know.
They're up there looking to get in the top six now.
Yeah.
So there's still plenty of football, plenty of time.
Hugh's also a Motherwell fan. It's all happening in Claret and Amber. How are you, Hugh?
Yes. Evening, guys. How are we?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Just to reiterate about the weekend, I've got a couple of points. One is the referee. And two, it's probably the team performance, but not so much in the second half. I know Stuart Kettwell pressed on it and came out in his post-match conference after that and says they weren't on the front foot. Now, I've been on this show a few times now and I've said your possession isn't good enough. 33% at home at St Johnston, 39% to Hibs, 40% to Aberdeen, when they're down to 10 men. Isn't good enough, we need to be more on the front foot. Yes, the positives are good team performance. Liam Gordon, I thought, was excellent. His best performance for us since he's arrived, especially in the captain as well. Good to see that. And he might not like it, but I thought Andy Halliday was outstanding. He normally gets subbed quite regular, but I thought he was outstanding. Really dictated midfield, the play for us, made the tackles, made the passes, bought free kicks. He's a Tony Watt. He's an experienced player who knows when to buy a free kick. You're under a bit of pressure, I'll get my ball in front, you'll buy a free kick. He's a bit dramatic at times, like the one the other week there in the penalty box and the one at the weekend, he done one at the weekend as well again. But again, he knows, he's a professional, he knows how to buy a free kick, which is good.
If you were on to praise him when he was here, I wouldn't allow it. I much prefer to slag him when he's... But now, the fact he's not here, I don't mind it.
Is it? Well.
Yeah, let's go serious for a minute, because I've seen a few say this, and he's a busy man, he'll probably not be listening, so that's fine. Is it safe to say he's coming on a bit of a game in the last couple of months, becoming quite important?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when he first came in, I would have probably preferred him at left back because I know he played in the back end with Hearts. So just to obviously get settled in the team and things like that, I think he was shoved in midfield, maybe not fit enough. And I think that showed. I was quite happy that he arrived because, again, as I say, he is an experienced player and that's what we were needing at that point. Experienced players come into the team to settle the team down, but it's good to see especially the weekend. I mean, it was me that tweeted you the picture, Gordon, about Andy Halliday holding the Ballon d'Or.
Well, that must have been good Photoshop, that, I have to say. AI can do absolutely anything. What do you make of Hugh's wider point, Gordon, about, you know, Motherwell maybe just trying to get a bit more control within games? It's actually been an interesting time for possession stats, you know, and I get it, you know, Hugh's done his research and he's rhyming them off and wants to do, you know, have the ball a bit more. Rangers' best result of the season, they beat Celtic 3-0 at Ibrox. They had 30-something% of possession.
Yeah.
I don't know, did you see St Johnstone Dundee at the weekend? I'm amazed by this, because it's not everything and it's about what you do with it, etc, etc. Dundee went to McDermott Park, won 3-1. Guess their possession. Bearing in mind, it's not like they were at the new camp, they were at McDermott Park.
42.
Low 30s.
23%. St Johnstone stunk the place out with 77% of the ball. Anyway, I still take Hugh's wider point, because the best way to sort of guarantee more control in games is clearly to have it. But will Stuart Kettlewell be
I don't think. Listen, as a manager, you always look to improve your performance. That goes without saying. But percentages of possession, I'm looking at their recent run. They could have beat Rangers. They beat Aberdeen. Their defeats have been at Tynecastle and Celtic Park. They beat Dundee United at home. I think Stuart Kettlewell as manager will be looking for points on the board. There isn't a lot between those teams. He'll be looking at wins first, then performance after that. But again, Hugh sees more of Motherwell than myself. But I wouldn't read too much into it. You've just said yourself there, Dundee go and win 3-1 at McDermott with less than 30% possession.
23. I couldn't believe it. I kept checking other sources because I thought it has to be wrong.
Well, the Motherwell second goal.
Yeah.
It's a long ball through. Great tape by the lad and scores. You know,
but there you're talking about St Johnstone with the 70-odd%, right, possession at home. They get beat. The manager's just arrived and he's come under a little bit of pressure, getting a bit of criticism. I know Hugh, because I've been on this programme many times. He's come on a Saturday and he talks about stats and obviously he pays his money. He's a true Motherwell fan, wants the best for his club. Sometimes it's not pretty. But I think when you look at the overall picture, I've got to say, I think the manager's doing a great, great job at Fir Park. Sometimes it isn't pretty. Now, probably when Aberdeen go down to 10 men in the second half at the weekend, I thought Aberdeen looked the bigger threat. And you would get a bit anxious if you're a Motherwell supporter thinking, hold on a minute, we've got 11v10. But in the bigger picture, in the bigger scheme of things, I just think that if you analyse it, and Hugh will probably shoot me down flames, there have been a few bad performances, stats, what Motherwell weren't producing and stuff like that, and you can argue all you want. But in the bigger picture, where Motherwell are, what they're producing just now, the players, everything about them, and he's touching on there Andy Halliday. Andy Halliday is not just a great pro on the pitch, and I'm not just saying this because he's on the show, he's a great pro to have off the pitch. And the dressing room, that experience is valuable for people going about, like, you know, young Lennon Miller and people like that. You talk to Andy before he come on this show, he's got a great intelligence of the game. So I think that Motherwell are having a real good season. And once again, there's a perfect example of the board, and I back the board here, Brian Caldwell, chief exec, good friend of mine, everything. Miller is injured. And the first thing they go and do, Coventry City, and get summed in. Back the manager, they could easily say, hold on a minute, we've got a big squad, we've obviously paying a lot of money out in wages, we've got to get rid of players first. They're backing the manager, they're backing the team.
And speaking of Andy Halliday, did you see the big story of the day? Did you see his revelation on his podcast?
Yep.
Andy Halliday revealing that Brendan Rodgers came up to him after the game and said he enjoys listening to him on this show.
Yeah, there
you go.
Slapping his face.
Credit where it's due. Thank you to Hugh, 01419511025. Good time to call. We will get you on next if we can.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly's here, so is Gordon DL on 01419511025. Looking back a bit on Sunday's action, but we've got big games just round the corner as well. Celtic welcoming Dundee United. Simon Donnelly derby, would we be obliged to call it that?
Kind of. Tomorrow night,
Rangers going to Dens Thursday, as we spoke about before the break. Motherwell down at Rugby Park as well. Let's bring in teaser. Mark. Alright, okay, fine. Do the teaser first. Very quickly, thank you to Grant for sending it in. Can you name the last six players to score in both the Scottish Cup and the League Cup finals in the same season?
Rooney.
Sean Rooney? Yes. Well done. Well remembered. Re-signed for Fleetwood, I noticed the other day.
Suspicious how he came out with that so quickly there.
I think we might have had this question before. That's what's worrying me.
Now he's thrown in who? Rogic?
Tom Rogic?
Correct. Okay, we'll leave it there for now.
John gave me the answer. Hey,
he also asked for the teaser there. And then
I give no credit. But listen,
Mark is on the line. How are you, Mark?
I'm well, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I was just wanting to make a wee point, have a wee whinge about Rangers. I'm a Rangers fan, and it's no secret that defence is pretty bad at the moment. We've lost all our big players, and we've got Robin Proper, who's their main defender at the moment, and he's absolutely abysmal. He's not strong, he's not fast, he's not a leader, he doesn't get people into position. Defensively, he's making lots of mistakes, and attacking when he goes forward, he's not great with his passes. So one of the only positives for me coming out of the Hibs game, he got a yellow card, which means he can't play on Thursday against Dundee. And I'm actually quite excited and quite looking forward to the idea that maybe Clement might actually pick our young defenders that we got, Nziala and Leon King. I'd quite like to see them play, because when King came on Sunday, they lost a goal, Rangers lost a goal, but he was shouting at the other players, getting them into position. He was aggressive with his tackling. He was really up close and tight to the sort of Hibs attackers. So I'd be quite interested and quite excited to see if we can actually develop these two defenders.
Mm-hmm. I might be about to ruin Mark's midweek, because it flashed up in the TV, didn't it, that Proper was suspended for this game, and we kind of repeated it. Then Fraser Wishart. So what I'll do is I'll blame it all on Fraser. I'll sort of throw him under the bus and let him deal with it. He pointed out on the show on Sunday, it was his understanding, and it's kind of written in the rules there, that it's six yellows for half a season gets you the suspension. But that's 19 games, half a season. Right. That was Rangers' 20th game. And he actually reckoned Proper would be fine to play at Dens. I don't know if that ruins Mark's week or not, because he came out with quite a long list of things that he doesn't enjoy about Robin Proper. Gordon, do you agree or disagree with him?
Look, there's a lot of them I do agree with.
Which ones?
I think he's quite slow. He got a goal against Celtic, which you think gives him so much confidence. I think that if I looked at Rangers just now, the two best centre backs for me is Suter and Balogun. But it's, you know, the fact that they're injured. Sterling's obviously struggling with an injury as well. So, what's his name? Mark?
Mark
is going to be disappointed, because if Proper isn't suspended, then he will be a certain starter at Dens Park.
Sorry, Mark. Sorry to do that to you.
You can hope.
Do you honestly think, though, I mean, Nziala, as an example, he hasn't kicked a ball really for the first team. I know when he signed, maybe people looked at the pedigree and got a bit excited. It became clear quite quickly, though, that he wasn't, you know, to go straight into the first team. You really think guys like that can step up and help Rangers be where they need to be away from home in the league?
I mean, when your sort of baseline is Proper, I think you can take chances, but you can never tell a player until they actually play games. They can be good in training, but when they play a game, it changes the way they play, and they'll get so much confidence. So I think he could do it possibly, but we need to see him in a game.
I wonder about Balogun, Gordon, because if he was, I don't know how close he was to the
Hibs game.
No, for the Celtic game, first of all, because remember that it was said that they were going to, he might, I think he said there was an outside chance he would make Celtic game, and he didn't. He then didn't make Hibs. How, outside was this chance.
Exactly. It couldn't have been that close because you've got another, what, 3-4 days
so
after it.
He's hamstring as well.
Are we to assume that he does return for this one? I mean, listen, Philippe Clement will do his press tomorrow and generally is quite open about these things.
I think it'd be a big boost, right? And I'm not having a go at Leon King here, but he's not played a lot of football. Every time there's been a problem or a substitution at centre half, Clement has, apart from Sunday, never used him in that position. I think King's one of these guys. If he doesn't get an opportunity now with so many centre backs out, then I think he should be looking across the city and looking at the example of Stephen Welsh. Go and get some football. Go and play first team football because that's what the guy needs. I think he's a decent enough player. But if he's not going to get in the team when they've got so many injuries in that position, then he's never going to be there. So it'll be interesting to see if Balogun isn't fit, then, and if Proper is available, then I think it would be a big night for King to get in there and play with Proper and show the manager, exactly, I've waited for my chance a long, long time and I'm going to show you what I'm capable of.
Raskin is suspended though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is that a concern for you, Mark? Mark, you still with us? No, Mark. Yeah, Mark's line's a bit dodgy. We'll get it cleared up. Hopefully, Gordon, to ask you the same question. It doesn't make life any easier, does it? It's not like there's loads of players, and certainly, well, I suppose defence would be the main issue. But even in midfield, I know Rangers
can bring Barron in.
They would have been, yeah, but they would have been keen to try and, unless Sports Science had something else to say, get a bit of a run in there.
Well, Raskin just now is the stand-in captain, and I think Raskin's in real good form. Yeah. I thought he was excellent against Celtic, I've got to say that. So he'll be a big, big miss, but it gets back to, you look at Barron, when Barron came in the building at first, every Rangers fan was on here saying, Rangers' best player, by a country mile. Best player, you can't leave him out.
He's hardly seen the
starting 11. So that's another opportunity for him to get it dense.
Not a hugely important point, but if Leon Balogun didn't play, who'd be Rangers captain?
He might give it to Proper.
Liam Kelly?
No, absolutely no chance.
Not just having been Motherwell's club captain?
No, not a chance. No. I've not been disrespectful to Liam Kelly. Liam's in there. I think he's got enough to concentrate. And especially,
no, I'm talking for one night, though.
No, I don't think because
you've just filleted Proper 2 minutes ago.
No, because let me finish. I think
now he's the leader of men.
I think he would give it to Proper because of his experience.
Yeah.
I'm not saying his ability, I'm saying his experience. I don't think he's going to hand Liam Kelly the captaincy because he was a captain in Motherwell. And because, obviously, if Tavernier's not the captain, then Butland
becomes
the captain.
They just give it to an underperforming Robin Proper.
I think he gives it to an experienced footballer.
Liam Kelly, experienced footballer.
Liam Kelly's played 2 games for Rangers. Made a mistake.
If Mark had his way, Proper would play none.
Yeah, but Mark's not got his way.
Mark, are you still with us?
A lot more.
We've seen Bruno Raskin suspension. Is that a worry for you?
I think because we got Barron, I think that's a great sub. But in terms of leaders on the pitch, you sort of look into other people and you don't really know if there's any proper leader who can shout other people into play and get people to play better in their positions. But I don't know.
Do these away games fill you with dread, Mark? Are you sort of feel that surely at some point Rangers get them right? I know that might be a bit of a kind of flimsy theory, but is that all that you've kind of got left to clutch at? Because there's not been much evidence away from home that it's going to turn.
No. Well, I think at this stage it's more just hoping. You're sort of not expecting wins anymore at all. You just hope that they win when they go away.
Oh, to be fair, I'm maybe going to contradict myself straight away because the evidence would be the first 20 minutes at Easter Road, at least, Gordon. That was certainly the best start they've made away from home.
Yeah, and I go back to it, I think Hibs played right into their hands. I think Hibs fancied themselves big time because of the form they were in. They went for it. The manager was confident, manager of the month. And I think he played right into Rangers' hand. With front 4-5, I call them, I think they just tore Hibs apart. Hibs left too many gaps and Rangers just tore them apart. And if Hibs had kept that formation, Rangers would have been out of sight by half-time, no doubt. But well, credit to David Gray. He changed it, he tweaked it. All of a sudden, worked his way back into the game. 2-0. Next goal, so important. Boyle gets it, gives him that lift, and it went on to be an absolutely great game, I've got to say.
See, when you're looking at it from your Celtic perspective, if you like, Simon, with regards to whatever version of a title race we've got left, when you see Celtic playing at home and Rangers playing away and the way things are, you almost, you're still in the mindset that Rangers will win, or do you really see it looking like they drop points most times they go away?
If I'm being honest, I think it'll be a difficult game again at Dins. Yeah. I think just because of the nature, Rangers, they drop points at Easter Road again. They don't have to seek out their problems injury-wise. There's going to be another makeshift back four. Mark's talking there about a couple of young lads coming in at centre-back. I think Proper will play, and he'll need to step up. He's the experienced one in that back line. He'll need to step up, but I think it's another really difficult night for Rangers.
Thank you very much to Mark. What about Darren on the other line? What's your point, Darren?
Good guys, you?
Good, thank you. All good here. What have you got for us?
Just wanted to say a bit about Liam Kelly. People saying that he's never good enough to be a Rangers number one, which I just think is nonsense, because he's had Scotland call-ups and he was a consistent goalkeeper for Motherwell.
So you actually think you'd be comfortable with either a longer run in the team if Jack Butland... Do you mean just while Jack Butland's out, or would you even keep him in if Jack Butland came back?
When Jack Butland comes back as well, I actually think if Rangers get an offer for Jack Butland, they should accept it.
Well, I don't know if there's any offers out there. Gordon, what do you think?
I don't know. Before Butland obviously went out the team, he was sort of a dip. He had a dip in form. We've seen his performance at Fir Park. He wasn't too confident. Look, I agree. I think that Liam Kelly is a first-team goalkeeper. Whether he can get in and play week in and week out with Rangers is another question, but he's got an opportunity just now. I think he takes responsibility for the Hibs second goal. Was it Bashira? Third, my apologies. I think he's got to do better there. But goalkeepers, if they make a mistake, that's the one thing that's highlighted. But he's certainly a talented goalkeeper. He's an experienced goalkeeper. He's played a lot of football. He went to Rangers knowing that he was going to be the number two. Yeah. And to be fair, I would have probably done the same myself. He's waited for his opportunity. He's come along now. So it's up to him to start on Thursday night to go and say, right, I've had a clean sheet against Celtic. OK, we lost three against Hibs. We need to start working on clean sheets. And that's not just him. That becomes him and the back four as well.
Any chance he stays in when Jack Butland returns?
I think there is a chance.
Really?
I think he's experienced enough. Again, as Daz says there, it's all down to his performances. We question the third goal at the weekend, certainly, but up until then, not much. He hasn't played a lot, but he's got his opportunity now. It's a weird situation. Goalkeepers, you have to wait long and weary to try and get your chance. He has to take it now, but I think he's certainly experienced
it. I've got to be honest, right, and as I say, I'm all for Liam Kelly. I think he's a very good goalkeeper, but I know Butland had that dip. But if Butland comes back, in my opinion, I think that Butland goes straight back in as number one.
We would never have had this conversation, and not just because Liam Kelly wasn't at the club, but we would never have had this conversation about Jack Butland last season. Darren, do you really believe he's fallen that far off it?
I'm going to say he's fallen that far off it. He's had a couple of bad games before his internal bleed, but a plus about Liam Kelly is because he's Scottish, I think he knows more what it means to play for the club.
Yeah, and I think sort of on the pitch, especially if you're a goalie, Gordon, at any given time, I don't really know how that would manifest itself. You know, do you save the ball better because you know the club?
No.
Probably not. However, I think anyone who's ever been in the same dressing room would probably say that he's very good to have around. And I know fans sometimes scoff at that, but you need it. I think that probably plays a big part in why he went to the Euros and stuff like that. You need the right characters. Every manager talks about.
Yeah, he was great at Motherwell. He had his critics. Everybody has people that just find fault in you somewhere along the line. And if a goalkeeper makes a mistake, it's probably more highlighted than any other position on the park, Gordon. Liam Kelly is a capable, very good goalkeeper and experienced international goalkeeper. But I go back to it and just say that you're right, we wouldn't be having this conversation at the beginning of the season. Butland was a fan's favourite. They were talking about, you know, clubs coming in, they wouldn't sell him for X, Y, and Z. Butland's taking a little bit of a dip, but Butland's still a top, top quality goalkeeper.
It's a good debate, Darren. Thank you for bringing it up tonight, Darren in Paisley on 01419511025. Right, you two. Grant has sent you the question. He's laid down the question for you, and you two need to come up with the goods. Six players, the last six players to score in both the League Cup and Scottish Cup finals in the same season. You've got Sean Rooney and Tom Rogic.
Kyogo.
Mm.
Yes, he was most recent. So that's three down. One more.
He's not showing me his work.
No, because I've not got any. I'm thinking
it's incredible you've got none wrong
was
yet. So
Christie one?
No, he was not. We'll get the Tavernier. Rest. No, you're now ruining it. You're ruining all
I'm
your
just
good
shouting
work.
Names.
He's
now
trying really hard to prove that he's not cheating, Simon. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. And just to complete the contact us section of the show, Grant has emailed in fulltime@clyde1.com. That's where you come up with a question, you email it in, and we try and use your question on the show to puzzle the pundits. It doesn't take much. Can you name the last six players to score in both the Scottish Cup and League Cup final in the same season? You've got half of them. Kyogo, most recently. Sean Rooney, a couple of years before that. Then about 4 years before that, Tom Rogic.
Larson.
Yes. Henrik Larsson.
Don't know how. Yeah. I have no idea. Hold on, he scored in the League Cup final.
Yeah.
No, I played Rangers.
I've got a couple of observations about you. Something just sparked in me. First of all, the first one I want to get to is because we were talking about Liam Kelly. You know that way when you like hear something from this show somewhere else out of context, the joy that that gives me, right? So. Mm. You ever heard of a podcast? It's probably my favourite other football podcast, apart from this, obviously, called Football Clichés. I don't think it's really in your in your area of interest, to be honest. But it does what the name suggests. It kind of has a wee kind of look at the language of football, the wee phrases that are only used in football, and how they're used, and whether it's appropriate or not to use them. And I was listening today, driving up to Lennox Town to do some work at Celtic, just listening as I always do, and then you came on it.
I came on
it. You came on it.
What was the cliche?
And well, we'll just play it, right? Let's play the clip.
Oh, no. Why me?
From the football.
Listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I guess this was the logical place for goalkeepers to figuratively store their minutes.
They've got a clean sheet. Remember their goalkeeper, Butland, get injured at the warm-up. They had to change that. That certainly doesn't help. But Liam Kelly will be delighted to get 90 minutes under his gloves.
Not in his gloves, under them. The gloves themselves.
There we go.
Well, under his gloves.
Do you know
hands.
What? Right, genuinely, which surprised me. They go on to kind of back you. They like it. They don't take the mickey out of it too much, which I feared they would. But they went to, you know, goalkeepers having minutes in their legs. Doesn't really matter, does it?
What, minutes in their gloves.
They don't run. Minutes under their gloves. You are
you
a pioneer.
That. Yeah. Under your gloves is your hands.
Well, yeah, I get that. Thank
most
you.
Most important thing. There's no point saying, oh, I'll get 90 minutes in their gloves. Under their gloves.
But I don't think that's the point. I don't think the question mark is whether the minutes are in or under the gloves.
Yeah.
I think
it was just the belt.
I think it was just the use of gloves at all that got their interest.
Talk your own language.
Everybody will
people.
Be using that. Yeah, 2025.
And secondly, just all about Gordon Deal. This is slightly different. I spent far too much time this morning. Iggy Higgins sent me a tweet earlier on. With a link to a guy called Daniel Elder's YouTube channel. That's kind of, I thought, what's this? And I clicked on it. And for whatever reason, each to their own, Daniel's YouTube channel is just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of old Raith Rovers footage. Every game you can think of from the 90s. There's interviews in there. There's award ceremonies in there. There's all sorts. So I spent ages watching them today, trying to quickly flick through and see which ones would feature you. And I found the goal against Aberdeen. You score against Aberdeen, it's a tap in, hopeless, and you run off and do that daft celebration, down on one knee, pointing at the corner flag.
Is that your trademark?
You no, it wasn't. On, I, you I, getting I, down I, on one knee has caused you a lot of trouble over the
oh,
years.
Oh, it's cost me a lot of money as well. It's made me homeless. I've actually seen that goal and I denied I scored. I thought that was Ali Graham.
Well, it's definitely you. The definitely commentator me. Says your name and you run over and you get down on one knee and sort of point. You, I think you rest your elbow on your knee. You know,
senior,
that sort of.
Yeah, seen you've scored that many, mate. You've got to mix it up.
Honestly,
for the fans.
You should go through this. There's games from.
I've not been through that.
I can see there's interviews with Peter Heatherson from 1999. Didier Gatt.
1994 goes on.
Jimmy Nicol.
94.
Willie Gray. There's all sorts. Although you told me you won everything. There was a clip of an award ceremony there, the Player of the Year, and it wasn't you that went up to collect the stuff. It was Stevie Crawford.
Oh, he must be young player.
You must have been away. 94-95.
All day should have been.
Jimmy Nicol's up there getting something. Stevie Crawford's up there.
94-95. Mm-hmm. I was away then.
No, you weren't.
Aye, I was.
94, you scored against us.
That not 93-94.
93-94. I was a manager at Air United.
You sure?
100%.
We'll let him off with it. Right,
or I would be collecting silverware.
Let's squeeze one more in if we can. Who have we got on the line? There's still calls coming in about one topic more than others. Scott's in Maryhill. How are you, Scott?
I'm very well, thanks, gentlemen. Yourselves?
All good, Scott. Go on then, round us off. Finish where we started on Brendan Rodgers. What do you think?
Okay, I can't remember the game or the actual situation, but I do remember Brendan Rodgers running onto the park, grabbing the kit man, wheeling him off, and then embarrassing the man later on when he was asked in the media conference about it, and he says the man should know his place.
The Aberdeen
now,
Cup
I think
game
that was
penalties.
Very disrespectful and should never have been made a comment of. Now, the fact that Celtic fans stood singing Kieran Tierney's name, the guy's a Celtic man. But it looks like he's coming back. Obviously, we're happy. We weren't singing his name to disrespect anybody else for whatever reason. We're hoping Neil will stay his cover. He's a great player and he's been a great servant to the club. For him to come out to do that, he's got too much confidence because Rodgers has got to remember his place at Parkhead. He is only a passing manager. A great manager for us in the past and now in the present and hopefully going on in the future. But he is only a passing manager. And to make comments like that against the fans who are happy that a player's coming. Now, what if it was a striker that we've never had before, but we know of him and he's that great that we start singing about him? Is he going to come out and say, oh, that's showing Kyogo disrespect? I don't know where he came from this. He's starting to... He's built a little divide there between the ones who were very, very upset with him coming back. He's won me over. But as soon as he made that comment, him leaving at midnight came back into my mind and I thought, how cheeky of you, how arrogant of you. And I would like him, if he's got the decency, to take that statement back from the Celtic fans because we did not mean to disrespect anybody's effort for our team and our club.
See, the guys are with you on the Greg Taylor point. They don't necessarily agree, Scott. See on the other point about the kind of grumbling generally about, you know, maybe backwards passes or whatever, should a manager not, just generally, should a manager not be able to say these things if he feels it's having a negative effect on his team and his players?
If Celtic supporters standing in a stadium singing a Celtic supporter's name who was a great player for us.
No, so I mean the other point. I mean the other point, you know, the one about him complaining that fans got a bit restless in the first half against St Mirren.
Oh no, the football at Celtic at the moment, I'm afraid, is boring. It's the same every week. Pass it along the back, 95% of the game. We go down the right wing, Coon gets it, there's an overlap. One Rangers...
They score, they win. Yeah. It can't be that boring, Scott.
No, they're winning, but the actual style of play is boring. Rodgers isn't mixing it up anything. We know what we're going to get every week. We don't have the greatest football players at the back, especially with young Scales, and I love the guy. But he was still insisting on we play out from the back quite a lot. Now, that has cost. If you can look back, everybody's big things about stats. I'm not. But if you look back, if someone can look back at the stats to see how many times we have lost possession from trying to play out to the back, that was Ange Postecoglou's biggest issue about becoming from a good manager to an even better manager is the fact that he couldn't change things up in Europe or anywhere else. It was 90 minutes, full goal. Sometimes Ange should have teamed up, got another defender on and shut the doors, but he didn't. Brendan Rodgers is doing the exact same thing, a different way, but he's sticking to his tactics, and one team's going to eventually, Rangers done it the other week, another team's going to do it eventually. They're going to suss that the way we play every week is the way we play every week. We don't change it up.
Don't get me wrong. I know this is tongue-in-cheek because obviously Celtic have a different set of expectations from other teams because they're the dominant side and all that. I do get it, but I have no idea how certain fans like Scott would cope watching another team. See if this is boring and it's the same all the time. So all of a sudden, Ange couldn't quite master it either, and now neither can Brendan Rodgers. I don't know what would it take then. What's satisfactory if this isn't
two defeats in a calendar year?
Scott, get yourself. I'll take you up to Fir Park at the weekend, Scott. See how you get on. Anyway, we're going to have to nip it in the bud there. Who are the last six players to score in the Scottish and League Cup finals? You've got Kyogo, Sean Rooney, Tom Rogic, Henrik Larsson.
Noble?
No.
Lovenkrantz?
No.
Ferguson?
Yes.
Barry Ferguson?
Yes. Quick, other one.
Who does he play with?
Rangers. A fairly obvious one if you're in that.
No, Chris Boyd?
Yes.
Is it Boyd?
Chris Boyd. There we go. Thank you to Gordon DL and to Simon Donnelly. It's a big week of football. Celtic back at it tomorrow. Interesting for a number of reasons, judging by tonight's phone calls. So join us tomorrow from 6, and in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.